I have some good news today. We've finished Ephesians chapter 4. Somebody went, whew. We're in chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5. And that's where we're going to be today. I think we're going to try to get through chapter 5 today. But I have to warn you, chapter 5 doesn't get any easier than chapter 4. And we're still on the subject of our conduct or our walk. Remember the three concepts or the three principles we're talking about. Our position sitting in Christ. And then our conduct, how we live our life, how we walk it out. And eventually we're going to get to our mindset. So today we're going to be talking more about our conduct. And I'm going to throw a point at you right away, because this is the subject that Paul is talking about in chapter 5. He's talking about, the point is, walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. Walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. That's exactly the synopsis of what Paul's talking about in chapter 5. So look at Ephesians 5:1, if you will. With me, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators of God. In other words, it's pretty simple. We're supposed to imitate God. We're supposed to imitate God. Some people might think, well, you know, how exactly does that work? Well, I'm going to share a scripture with you that's not on the overhead, but it's from 1 Peter, and it says this. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Remember last week, we talked about in chapter 4, their understanding was darkened because of ignorance, because of their lack of knowledge of who God is and their lack of knowledge of the Word. Well, here's where how we imitate God. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves in the former lust, as in your ignorance before Christ, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, in the way you live, in your walk. See, there's that word conduct, walk, live. Those are three interchangeable words here that is used in Scripture. Because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Quoting the Lord. So, imitate God. God is holy, and we're supposed to imitate Him. And when we do that, we're doing what He wants to do, us to do. We're living the way He wants us to live. Now, some of you say, well, how can we be as holy as God? We can't be as holy as God, but we can be like God. You see, our whole purpose that He's trying to get across is to be Christ-like. Our purpose in life should be always to be more Christ-like. And if we just worked on that, that's a 24/7 job, isn't it? Being Christ-like. Imitate God. Look at verse 2. And walk, there's that word walk again. In other words, live in love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Here's the point. Love is an offering and a sacrifice to God. He says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. How did Christ love us? He died for us. That's, you can't get much more love than that, can you? Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Why do we say love is an offering and a sacrifice? Why would I say that? Well, you see, because love is not a simple thing. Love is not an automatic thing. Not true love, not real love, the love that God perpetrates. You know, people are unlovable, aren't they? I'm unlovable at times, aren't I, dear? Oh, she was quick to agree. Yes, that was a firm answer. Guilty. So love has sometimes is an offering to God. Hey, this person's not lovable. But you know what? As an offering to God, I'm going to love this person, even when they're unlovable. And then what is that? Well, there's a sacrifice in itself, isn't it? Sometimes you got to sacrifice the way you feel in order to do what God wants you to do, and that is love. So it's pretty, in this world we live in, and living with each other, who all of us can be unlovable, right? Not one amen. All of us can be unlovable, right? That's better. We talked about lying last week now. Don't forget that. I was playing basketball with one of our youth the other day for a little bit. And I shot a ball and the net's ripped. So sometimes you swish it through. Sometimes it'd go outside and didn't move the net. And I shot an air ball and I missed. I said, look at that. I didn't even move the net. And he goes, grabs the ball. He says, hey, you just talked about lying on Sunday, Pastor. Busted with my own. I said, well, that's good. You were paying attention. You weren't sleeping, young man. So love oftentimes is an offering. Just as Christ, for Christ, it was an offering and a real sacrifice. He calls us to make much less of an offering and a sacrifice with our mindset and how we approach people and respond to people. So love is an offering and a sacrifice to God. You know, the Bible says, love overcomes a multitude of sin. And I think that plugs right into there. You know, somebody sins against you, somebody offends you, somebody ticks you off. You know what? Love overcomes not just that, but a multitude of that. The Bible says, and Proverbs says, a kind word turns away wrath. You know, you can disarm somebody that's ticked off and just blowing steam and going off on you by just a kind word. It's Scripture. A kind word can turn away that wrath. And so walk in love, because and love is an offering and a sacrifice. Look at verses 3 and 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for the saints, Christians, believers, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, here's where it's going to start to get a little sandpapery, okay? We got to remember something. Can we put up verse 3 again? Fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be even named among the church. You see, here's something I want to remind you. Paul's writing this to the church. He's not writing this to all those people that are not in the church that we think of as heathens. Okay? He's writing this to the church, to us. And so he's making it very clear when he talks about this. Fornication, in case you don't know what fornication means, it's sex outside of marriage. It's sex between unmarried people or sex outside of your marriage. Okay? Just want to make that clear. Uncleanness means morally impure. So he's hitting it pretty heavy here, and he's going direct to it. Neither fornication, uncleanness, covetousness is coveting, which is idolatry. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting. Why would he say that? Obviously, it was in the church then. And whether you believe it or not, it's in the church today. It's even, unfortunately, oftentimes in the pulpit. And, you know, because we go to church and we're Christians, we think we're immune to sin, and we're not. Paul's writing this to the church, and he's saying, don't even let these things be named among you. In other words, don't let it even be said that it exists. So he's being pretty strong about it. And then in verse 5, he says, or 4, he says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. That means really dirty jokes, vulgar jokes, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In other words, instead of all that, just be thankful. Be thankful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Be thankful. Here's the point. Paul's saying live morally, physically, and spiritually clean lives. Live morally, physically, and spiritually clean lives. Live morally right. Live physically right with your bodies. Don't sin in your body, with your body. And spiritually, keep your mind clean with godly spiritual things, because there are other spiritual things out there of the dark world, this dark world, that can get into your mind. Look at verse 5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, he's going back through those things, nobody that does those things, who is an idolater, that's the coveter, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Whew. It's pretty strong words, isn't it? Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, what things? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, people who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, Paul's saying, don't do those things. Don't do those things that he just named. You know, it's interesting. 1 Corinthians 6:9 kind of talks about that. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9 and 10. And he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 9, he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. There it is again. Why is Paul saying do not be deceived? Because the enemy is the great deceiver. The world is sowing deception everywhere. And the church is not immune from deception. It's a giant tool of the enemy. Don't be deceived by what people say, by what you hear, by what you think. Why? That scripture I read this morning. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. That's why, you know, it doesn't matter what you hear, what you think, what you see. You better prove it with this. Don't be deceived, he says. Neither fornicators, idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Again, I want to remind you, this is written to the church. So obviously, it must have been a little bit of an issue back then. And so, Paul is giving warning. Look at verse 11 in Ephesians 5. You see, I just want to visit that for a minute, because there's this feel-good gospel that's preached nowadays in a lot of churches. There's churches set up by homosexuals for homosexuals. All kinds of things going on. That's deception, people. It's deception because it's against God's word. It's not truth, but it's deception. And deception is in the mainstream church as well, because there's this thing that's about happiness thing and feel-good things that, you know, I know God wants me to be happy. That's a twisted lie from the devil. There's nowhere in Scripture that he talks about God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. And those are two different things. You know, happiness is based on our surroundings and our current circumstances and situations. Joy is based on the peace of Christ. It moves through and steady regardless of what's going on in life. You know, happiness doesn't remain in the midst of all hell breaking loose. But joy and the peace that comes with that joy can remain constant in the midst of all hell breaking loose. So verse 8, Ephesians 5:8. For you were once darkness. So he's talking to Christians, to believers in the church. He's saying, you were once darkness. So you know what that obviously means? And he referred to it in chapter 4 as well. You were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. He says, before you come to Christ, you're not only in darkness, you are darkness. You are darkness. Hey, I believe that. I understand that. I get it. I've been there. You were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. So there's the word walk again. Walk as children of light. There's the interchangeable word, live. Another version uses live for walk. Live. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Here's the thing. How are you going to live as children of light, children of God? How are you going to find out what is acceptable to the Lord? Got to read the book, right? You got to read the manual for life. It's not a rule book. This is not a rule book like athletic sports events have. Whether you name it, racing, football, basketball, whatever. This is not a rule book. It's a manual. It's a manual. You know, it's kind of like, guys, most of you will identify with this. It's like any of you have ever, when kids were little, you got the first swing set and you're going to put it together. And there's a thing called a manual. And first thing you do is you open the bag and you dump out the 10,000 nuts and bolts and screws and you throw the manual behind you and you get at it, right? How'd that work for you? And it's the same way in life. Look at life as putting together a swing set, guys. You got to read the manual. You got to read the manual to know, to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. You see, living like I want to live, I'm a Christian, but if I want to dabble in this little sin because it makes me feel good or it fulfills me in some way, well, you're twisted. You can't do that. It's very clear. You can't. Do that. You can't do that. Look at verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In other words, all those things Paul's named, stay away from those things. Don't covet. Don't envy. Don't get drunk. Don't commit adultery, fornication, those things. Having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. You know how you expose them? See, some people, a lot of people read that as run around and point fingers. Oh, that. No. Walk as children of God. Amen. Live your life as children of light. And as you live in the light exposes those things. Amen. You see, people can see a difference. You don't have to run around pointing those things out. That's not what it means. It means walk the way you're supposed to walk. Live the way you're supposed to live. Refrain from those things. And the light will expose the darkness. You see, if we flipped all these lights off, it'd be real dark up here. You probably couldn't even see those folks sitting there, the worship team. But guess what? When you turn the lights on, what happens? Darkness goes. See, you don't run around pointing fingers to expose darkness. Verse 12. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. You see, we don't have to do those things. We don't have to expose those things. Light exposes those things. So if we live as light, those things are exposed. Those things are exposed. Here's the point. Here's the point. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Remember I talked about last week, people that try to, Christians that get saved, but they still want to the lust of the flesh still captivates them, so they have one foot in the world and one foot in God. It doesn't work because you can't have light and dark exist, coexist. They don't coexist. One's gonna win out. Light and darkness cannot coexist. Verse 15. See then that you walk or live circumspectly. Now, circumspectly means this: cautious, prudent, and watchful. See then that you walk or live circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, how do you understand what the will of the Lord is? This goes back to the manual, right? It goes back to the manual. See that you live carefully, circumspectly, with wisdom, watchful. You see, don't get caught up in those deceptions. Don't step into the devil's traps. Be cautious. Doesn't mean fearful. You can live boldly and circumspectly at the same time. You can be bold, but you can be cautious at the same time. And that's what he's saying. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is the will of God. And the only way to understand it is to familiarize yourself with it and allow the Spirit of God to speak into your spirit as well. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 speaks to that. He says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, those who are not in Christ, those unbelievers. Walk in wisdom toward them, redeeming the time. Here's what he means. Don't get caught up with them. Be wise, because time is burning. This world is wasting away. Redeem the time. Make up for lost time. Don't get caught up with them, But also, he's saying, walking in wisdom toward those, don't be a poor witness. You see, you can't redeem the time if you're a poor witness and you're just pushing them farther away from Jesus by the way you act or talk or speak. Got it? Thank you. Two people got it. That's good. Well, let's try verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Dissipation is waste, means misuse. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, which is a waste of time, but be filled with the Spirit. So that scripture there says don't drink, right? What? What's it say? Don't get drunk, right? So wine's okay, right? We got a bunch of winos in here because he got quiet then. Exactly. He says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. He's saying, getting drunk is a waste of time because your understanding is blurred. Your senses are blurred. And it's a waste of time. Time is of essence, Paul's saying. Time is of essence even now, even more so. But be filled with the Spirit. And if you look in the original context of that, being filled with the Spirit, here's what it means. And it's the point, the next point. Keep being filled with the Spirit. Keep being filled with the Spirit. You see, you can get filled with the Spirit and get out there in the world and get after it, and it wears on you, and it works on you, and it beats on you, and you kind of leak. You know, it's like a pouring water in a paper bag. It'll hold for a while, but sooner or later it'll start to leak out. Paul's saying you got to keep being filled with the Spirit so that you can keep walking in the Spirit. Keep being filled in the Spirit, with the Spirit. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. He's saying, be thankful. Don't waste your life. Don't waste time. Don't waste on wasteful things. Don't waste your life in a sinful life. Be thankful to God for everything that you have. Verse 22 through 33, this is a whole message in itself, but since it's Father's Day, I think it's a good passage of Scripture. So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to see if I can get through verses 22 through 33, through the end of this chapter. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior, Christ, of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, some of you ladies have got a sour taste in your mouth, and I understand. Because you live with that jackleg of a husband. No. I mean, he can be. I mean, right? Am I a jackleg at times? Yes. She's on it today. Here's the point. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So, as you submit to the Lord, submit to your husband. Not out of a have to, but out of an obedience to the Lord, out of a submission to the Lord, because that's what he asks you to do. You see, if you read through the Bible, it says to obey authorities and all those over you. And if you think back through the Bible, there are a lot of jerk, nasty, horrible kings that were in power. And you know what God said? He told his people, you got to submit to them. He didn't say if they were good, submit to them. You know why? Because he can take care of them. He used some pretty ugly kings to do his purpose and get things done. So that I don't chase that rabbit too far, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. God sets things in order for a reason and a purpose. And yes, we as human beings don't always follow that order or take up those responsibilities as we should, especially men. I get that. But that doesn't change Scripture. I can't change Scripture for you. And God doesn't say, based on this or that. He just says, submit. Now, that being said, that was four verses. Okay? 22, 23, 24. Three verses. So, ladies, you'll be happy about this. The rest of the chapter pretty much speaks to the men. So, you see, God said, God knew you got the ladies can get it. But the men, he's got to hit it for a little bit. So, let's go. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, just a little while ago, we were talking about love being an offering and sacrificial, men. Well, there it is. Love your wives just as Christ loved the church, or just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for you. In other words, don't base it on conditions. Don't base it on how good she looks or how good she performs or how good she cooks. Just love her the way Christ loved you, if you're part of the church. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by his word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. In other words, how you love your wife goes a long way toward determining her spiritual life, her spiritual conduct. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. You like to eat, men? Yeah, we like to eat. You know, we like to do what we want to do. You ought to love your wives the way you love your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Pretty simple there. You don't love your wife, you really don't love yourself. You see, God says the two become one, interconnected, can't separate them. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. You like to eat, you feed your body, right? Some of us exercise, some of us eat healthy, some of us take care of ourselves, some of us shave and take a bath. Hopefully all of us. So we take care of ourselves. And that's exactly what he's saying there. No one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it, he cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And so he's saying, men, nourish your wife. Give her what she needs. That doesn't mean go out and work hard and put food on the table only. That's part of it. Meet her emotional needs. Sit down and talk to her. When she's having a tough time, put your arm around her. Pray for her. Man, it's quiet in here. Nourish and cherish. Jesus nourishes and cherishes the church. Cherish your wife. She's a gift from God. Yeah, I know. Sometimes you think she's not, because sometimes she doesn't act like a gift from God. But you don't normally act like a diamond all the time either, guys. Nourish and cherish. For we are members of his body. We. So men and women, husband and wives, we're members of his body. You're members of the same body. Of his flesh, of his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And so then he takes it and says, I'm talking about husbands and wives, but really it's an analogy of the church. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Jesus and the church. Jesus, the husband of church, the bride. You see, we're the bride of Christ. And so we're supposed to engage in that, receive that, and be that. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular, so men, he's back to you, men. He gave you a little break to catch your breath. Now he's coming back with the hammer again. Nevertheless, each one of you in particular, so love his own wife as himself. And ladies, let the wife see that she respects her husband. And let me just say this to sum that up. Men, if you love her the way God wants you to, she won't have any problem respecting you. You see, the problem comes with respect is when we don't earn it or we don't justify it. We don't love her the way God says love her. Well, why should she respect you? Why should she submit? Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as he himself, as you love yourself. Take as good care of her as you take care of yourself. See to her needs the same way you see to your needs. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. Bam. Got it? It's not an opinion. I'm not giving you my opinion. Hey, this is just as challenging for me as it is for you guys and ladies. But this is how God wants us to live. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Don't waste time, redeem the time. Some of you think, man, I have had so many lost years. I know. First 30 years of my life were mostly wasted. Even many after that, several after that. But God redeems the time. Amen. If we'll do what he says, if we'll embrace him, amen, if we'll engage him, if we'll keep being filled with the Spirit and walk in love and walk in light and walk in wisdom. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for these hard, strong words this morning. We know they're true. We know they are light. And we know they are life. And we know they are for us. I thank you, Lord, that you speak to believers the same way you speak to unbelievers with truth. And the same truth applies. God, help us as believers to embrace your truth. God, this morning I just believe that the Spirit is saying we need to examine our lives. So I want you to take just a minute right now and examine yourself. Ask the Lord to examine your life. How are you living your life? Are there any of these things that Paul talked about? Fornication, covetousness. Can that be named among you? Foolish talking. Things that speaking that are not fitting for God's people. You know, none of us are perfect. Any of us can be caught by any of these things if we're not careful. So just ask the Lord to examine your heart this morning. Say, Lord, is there any unclean thing in me that's not of you? Is there anything in my life I need to adjust, that I need to get rid of, that I need to stop? And then for the husbands and wives, Ask the Lord as a wife or as a husband, is there anything, am I doing these things? Am I submitting and respecting my husband? Lord, am I loving my wife the way you call me to love her? Am I sacrificing for her in ways that I need to sacrifice? Am I nourishing and cherishing her? Holy Spirit, speak this morning. My hearts are open and the eyes and ears of our hearts are open. Speak, Holy Spirit. And Father, on this day that we celebrate earthly fathers, but also we celebrate our heavenly Father, God, if there's any unclean thing in us, let us confess it to you now. Let us repent in our hearts of those things and seek to be filled with your Spirit, to be able to walk in love, in light, and in wisdom. Father, fill your church fresh. God, you can fill even without an understanding. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit, so that we can walk in the holiness in the likeness of Jesus, our Savior. God, we celebrate you today, the Father of light, the Father of life. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Take those connection points on your bulletin and fill it out. And maybe if you made any kind of decision today, maybe you recommitted your life to Christ. Maybe there's something there that you've struggled with and you just want to say, pray for me. I want to overcome this. Whatever it may be, utilize that, because prayer works. And we have prayer teams that pray over those. A lot of different individuals. So do that today. Ushers, if you'll come and prepare to receive our tithes and offerings, it's offering time.